Is water baptism essential for salvation? The short answer to this question is absolutely not. Salvation comes by grace through faith. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And whatever is of faith is by definition not of works. That is not as a result of something we have done. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Romans chapter 3 verse 28. Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. Galatians chapter 2 verse 16. God calls upon sinful, unsaved mankind to repent of dead works of the flesh and turn to Him by putting our faith in the person of the Son of God and in His work on the cross for us, dying for us, and thereby cleansing us from our sins. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. The expression repentance from dead works in the letter written to the Hebrews is an important term. At the moment of belief, when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and choose to trust Him, repentance from dead works is part of what we have done. Part of the meaning of turning to the Lord Jesus is that we have accepted that He is the only way that we can be saved, that we can do nothing by ourselves to be saved, and that only in the Lord Jesus do we have eternal life. Therefore, whatever we once hoped would save us, we now understand and accept that apart from faith in Jesus Christ, whatever the work or ritual may be, it has absolutely no life-giving ability in itself and cannot produce salvation. So to add water baptism or any other condition to salvation by definition makes the process one of works rather than of grace. In fact, anyone relying as a guarantee of salvation on the fact that they were baptized with water is badly mistaken. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ, pure and simple, not by any ritual or organizational membership. Whenever anyone attempts to add to God's requirements for salvation, they are putting those who listen to them at risk, because anyone who thinks they are saved because they have been baptized is wrong according to Scripture. And if such a person is not a believer in Christ, then it is not only a matter of having a warped view of salvation, but of not having salvation in the first place. But whatever I had gained in my former godless life, compared to Christ, I have come to consider these things as losses. Indeed, I consider everything to be a loss compared to the surpassing importance of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have suffered the loss of everything, and consider everything I have lost as garbage compared to gaining Christ and being found in Him, not having a personal righteousness developed through following the Mosaic law, that is works, but having that righteousness that comes through faith in Christ, that righteousness that comes from God based on faith. Philippians chapter 3 verse 7 through 9. Water baptism is also known as John's baptism. This was a ritual closely associated with the return of the Messiah and the preparation of the Jewish nation for that return, preparing the hearts of the willing for Jesus' arrival through an act that acknowledged repentance from sin. Jesus would change the ritual into a reality when He, having accomplished eternal redemption of sin at the cross, ascended on high and made possible the predicted baptism of the Spirit. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. This baptism of the Spirit mentioned by John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 verse 11 is the true baptism of the church, whereby everyone who believes in Jesus since the day of Pentecost is both anointed with the Spirit and made one with Jesus through the Spirit. This is the one and only baptism of which the Scriptures speak, which comes as a result of the one and only faith, the faith we have and maintain in Jesus Christ, for there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. It is true that there is much water baptism in the book of Acts, but this was a transitional period wherein even the apostles were in the process of learning what the new realities of the cross, Jesus' resurrection, ascension and session, and the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost truly meant, as Peter's experiences in Acts chapter 10 show so clearly. It is true that most Christian traditions engage in some form of water baptism, but given how wrong most denominations are about so many things, this is hardly an argument in favor of water baptism. We have to look to what Scripture has to say, and whenever and wherever we do, we find that the Spirit's baptism is what is really important, as John the Baptist predicted even before the fact. John answered them all and said, "I am symbolically baptizing you with water, but one who is more powerful than me is coming, one whose sandal thong I am not sufficient to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, ready to cleanse his threshing floor and gather the grain into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Luke chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. One major problem with water baptism is that if you ask the people and groups who do it what it means, you are likely to get a variety of widely divergent answers. This can only show that there is a problem with the symbolism behind present-day water baptism as it is currently practiced. At best, it may represent our new relationship with Jesus and our faith in him, but this is usually very confusingly explained in ceremonial baptisms. The real impression that water baptism leaves upon people is that this is some sort of essential ritual without which you can't get to heaven. And while there is nothing in the Bible to even suggest this, it is what many groups brazenly proclaim. Water baptism as essential to salvation is a very dangerous heresy because it can lead people to relying upon a human ritual instead of God's spiritual realities. But it also has the added danger of making people who buy into this deceit entirely dependent upon the people doing the baptism. After all, if baptism were essential to salvation, then you better have it done right. If it's essential for salvation, then it must be imparting some special grace. And if all this is so, then it would stand to reason that only those who have the special in with God, necessary to water baptize correctly, can save you. So a person who buys into this deceit of necessity becomes enslaved to the group or persons who are making these claims. If someone else other than God is in control of your salvation, then they become a god to you, and this is typical modus operandi in all cults. Water baptism, while potentially harmless because it is unnecessary, has caused more false guilt and more mistaken reliance upon human beings, ritual, and far from godly organizations than perhaps any other fallacy. We want to do what God wants us to do, but apart from Jesus' command to his disciples that they should be baptizing, and we must take special note here, Jesus did not tell them to be baptized, but to baptize others. We must keep in mind this was meant for the Jewish nation's preparation for the coming of their Messiah. There is nothing in Scripture that commands us to partake of this ritual. And when we look at it carefully, we find that Matthew chapter 27, verse 18 through 20, is actually also talking about the baptism of the Spirit. For water baptism could never, as the Greek text literally says, baptize us into the persons of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Spirit baptism does precisely this, making us one with Christ, as Christ is one with the Father and the Spirit. So now there awaits no judgment of condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed you from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Clearly then we are in Christ and have the eternal life that frees us from the law of sin and death through the Spirit's baptism, not through any water ritual. No human being can put us into Christ, making us one with him. Only God can do that, and does so through the baptism of the Spirit whenever anyone puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Water baptism these days almost always takes place long after a person has believed in the Lord, and long after those who gave the gospel have carried out our Lord's command to be baptizing them into his person. By sharing the gospel, people believe in Christ unto salvation, and are then baptized into him, becoming one with him and the Father and the Spirit through the Spirit's ministry of baptism. No amount of water administered through human hands could ever hope to accomplish anything of the sort. In conclusion, water baptism, While potentially harmless and even possibly of some small benefit if it is used to teach by analogy how we become one with Christ, submerged into Him as the water image suggests, in practical terms has been used historically as an issue of harassment between denominations, a tool for manipulation of adherents in all sorts of groups, and most sadly of all, a substitute for a true saving faith in Jesus Christ in far too many cases. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Acts chapter 16, verse 31.